Good morning, and welcome to our first virtual worship in a time of corona. My name is Mitchell Hay. I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Vermont, and I'm glad you could join us for an experiment as we gather during a time of isolation to gather for worship. 1 week ago feels like an entirely different world. 1 week ago, we tapped holy elbows in greeting. We laughed with our kids in worship. We shared communion. We shared coffee hour. We were aware of safer social practices to avoid a virus, but our concerns felt a little more theoretical a week ago. On the periphery, on the margins, a little bit out there. A week ago, I didn't know that I would be packing up my daughter to come home from college, that my son would be told to work from home for the foreseeable future, that our ecumenical food pantry would need to invent a drive-through distribution with very little warning, that worship would not be in the living, breathing space that we love, but is now on a glass screen on your lap or on a table. Today is an entirely different world from a week ago, but we still gather together in faith and in love, and I welcome you. So today, Jeremy LeClaire, tech extraordinaire, and I are in the Parsonage living room because the interwebs is marginally faster here than at the church. I'm more than a little nervous because this is a whole new modality for me, and there's things we don't have much control of. There's a dog under my feet who may start barking at an imaginary chipmunk. I have a whiny cat named Shayla that could start meowing at the injustices of the universe, and I might faint from nervousness. Mistakes will be made, but I hope you are in a comfortable place, snugged up in PJs and a robe with a mug full of coffee and a full heart. Are you ready for worship? Then let's begin. If you have the bulletin that I emailed last night in front of you, I invite you to follow along, but we will begin with a call to worship, just like we do on a Sunday morning in the church building. It comes from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who thirst for a meaning and belonging, come. Come to the waters. You who are parched for love and purpose, come. Come to the waters. You who yearn for peace and compassion in the world, a world wild with war and hatred, come. Come to the waters. You want to hear something of good news? Come. Come to the waters. You want a glimpse, a touch, a sense, a spark, a something of God? Come. Come to the waters. Let us worship and drink deeply. There's a wonderful spiritual called Through It All. It's on page 507 in our United Methodist hymnal, about how through it all we are learning to trust in God. And through it all seems a pretty good way to open ourselves to the presence of God right now. So I invite you to a time of prayer. Through it all, Lord, in my walking, my running, eating, drinking, sharing, giving, listening, talking, learning, teaching, encouraging, challenging, shouting, through it all. Through it all, Lord, when you call, I am willing. When you push my boundaries, I am willing. When you set the pace, I am willing. When you blow my mind, I am willing. When you reach out your hand, I am willing. When you apply the brakes, I am willing. When you change my course, I am willing. When you turn the tide, I am willing. When you call another, I am willing. When you call me, I am willing. Waiting, acting, being, doing, breaking, mending, living, dying, through it all, through it all. Amen. Our reading this week is one of the longer readings in the lectionary from John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well. And there's a lot of unusual and wonderful things about it. And I put that on your bulletin if you would like to read along with or just listen for a story. Don't think of it as a really long Bible reading, but as a story. A story with something profound to tell us during this time. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you plan to get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water I give them will become in them a spring of water gushing to eternal life." Then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship Abba in spirit and truth, for Abba seeks such as these to worship God. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. John concludes that many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Two phrases have exhausted me this week. The first is an abundance of caution. Every press release about something closing or some big disappointment, from the Flynn to Broadway to government offices to nursery schools, starts out with out of an abundance of caution, and then you hear the bad news. I think it should better be called out of a sense of logic and proportion and good common sense. Here's some bad news, but that's another sermon for another time. But the other phrase that is exhausting me this week is social distancing. I'm not exhausted by what it means. The need during a viral pandemic to keep a physical distance between ourselves and others, to avoid crowds, to avoid touching hands, and sharing too closely a physical space is absolutely needed right now to avoid spreading the coronavirus. Absolutely. It's the term social distancing that is irking me, because what they're calling for right now is a time of physical distancing. And that is necessary. And that means right now is a time for us to shrink our social distancing. What we need is social bridge building, the non-physical connections that can lead to deeper friendship, closer relationships, and truer fellowship. In a time of physical distancing, social distancing is the last thing we want. It is social bridge building that we are called to, and we get a powerful lesson in this social bridge building from the gospel reading in John chapter 4. This story about the woman at the well is about two people, strangers, who should have any number of social distancing divides separating them, are instead connecting each other, connecting to each other's hearts and souls and finding there a life-giving water. Now, there are a bunch of eyebrow-raising firsts in this reading, all sorts of things that should not happen in a first century Middle Eastern context. The first thing for you to know about is that this Samaritan woman is someone to whom Jesus talks longer and more intimately than with anyone else in all the Gospels, longer than to his disciples, longer than to his adversaries, longer than to anyone in his family. This is the most in-depth theological conversation of Jesus recorded anywhere in the Gospels. This Samaritan woman is the first one ever to whom Jesus reveals that he is Messiah. And she is the first outsider ever to discern who he is. And just like the healed Gerasene demoniac in Mark's gospel, she is the first foreign evangelist to tell others about Jesus the Messiah, and her testimony brings many to Jesus and to faith in him. This is an unusual story, and this is an amazing and unusual woman that Jesus is building these social connections with. There are some other things going on in this reading, things that make you realize that this woman should, by all respectable, proper, reasonable, and religious rules, that she ought to be the last one ever to have anything to do with this Jewish Messiah. That she should be someone to whom Jesus is doing the social distancing thing, not the social and spiritual bridge-building thing that he does. If you put yourself into a first century Palestinian context, Jesus should be practicing social distancing throughout this reading. First, Jesus should be practicing social distancing because, one, the Samaritan woman is a woman. Women do not meet or acknowledge or talk to men who are not their husband or relative in Middle Eastern culture. Think Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan, where women are arrested and whipped by religious morals police for sharing a man's computer or being a passenger in a car driven by a non-relative. Jesus, by making a social connection here, is actually putting the safety and reputation of this woman in danger by asking her for a drink. Second, Jesus should be practicing social distancing because, second, the Samaritan woman is a Samaritan. That is a problem. Samaritans were seen by their Jewish neighbors across the border as half-breed pagans, bastard third cousins of Judaism, who worshipped in the wrong place, in the wrong way, with the wrong version of Torah. And the feeling was pretty mutual, the Samaritans toward the Jews as well. John makes it clear, Jews and Samaritans don't share drinking cups, nor anything else. And the third reason that Jesus should be practicing social distancing is because the Samaritan woman seems to be an ostracized woman, an outsider. Women in desert culture go to the town well in the cool of the morning, and they do it in a group for safety. Those randy camel herders are hanging out at the wells, and for socializing. This woman was there alone. She was there at noon. She either had to be there alone at noon because she was ostracized by the other women in the city of Sychar, or she wanted to be there alone at noon because midday wells were, well, kind of the first century equivalent of a singles bar. They worked for Moses and Zipporah and a number of other couples in the Bible who met at the well. But here's the thing. Jesus should be practicing social distancing with this woman, this Samaritan woman at the well. But because Jesus knows his calling and our calling is to build bridges beyond boundaries, Jesus instead practices social bridge building. Jesus goes beyond the boundaries and breaks down every social norm, every precious bit of traditional religiosity and pious bits of proper behavior, and leaves them as rubble around this well of Jacob. Because for Jesus, there is something more important than broken boundaries and broken religious decorum. There are also broken people. Jesus yearns to make a connection with this broken child of God, a daughter, a beloved daughter, who thirsts for something so deep that she doesn't know how to name it. And Jesus offers this broken, thirsty woman living water. In these upcoming weeks, when physical distancing is going to be a harsh reality for a lot of people, it means that there are going to be a lot of broken people. People who feel alone, isolated, desperate. There are people who are going to be hungry and sick and unable to get to work. And while physical distancing may be a reality in a time of pandemic, social bridge building is what we are called to create in the same way that Jesus did with the Samaritan woman at the well. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be discovering how it is that we can create these social bridges with one another, for one another, and for the larger community outside the walls of the Essex Center United Methodist Church. Now is the time for us to be able to step out to truly meet new needs for the most defenseless and the most vulnerable in our community. In this time of uncertainty and precaution, I want to share with you the words of Rabbi Yosef Kanevsky that I sent out to folks by email this week about keeping community strong and loving in a time of isolation. He wrote in his letter that he sent to his Los Angeles synagogue congregation, announcing to them that they'd be closing worship. He wrote, "Every hand that we don't shake must become the phone call that we place. Every embrace that we avoid must become a verbal expression of warmth and concern. Every inch and every foot that we physically place between ourselves and another must become a thought as to how we might be of help to the other should the need arise." Here's the thing. In breaking the boundaries, building the bridges to meet this woman at the well, this daughter of God, Jesus refuses to let her be defined by the boundaries and borders of her culture, and lets her be defined by God's grace and love and forgiveness and healing. Jesus knows her where she is. Jesus loves her where she is. And he will use her and her brokenness to live out his love and for his realm of justice and peace and mercy. And Jesus will do the same with us, for me and for you, my fellow beloved children of God, bridge builders, makers of peace and reconciliation, creators of social intimacy in the midst of physical distances. Let's be bridge builders in a time of physical distance. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you sometime today to listen to a hymn, perhaps on YouTube, called Jesus, Lover of My Soul, on page 479 of our hymnal. Very much a song that goes well with our reading. I would like us to have a time of prayers to the people now. I'm going to be reading some prayers and concerns that folks phoned in, and I invite you now to send in via, what's the proper term?
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live comment section, any prayer concerns you might have as well. So I'll share some words of prayer I found this week from a UCC pastor named Marin Tirabassi. I'll share some words of hers. I'll lift up some names on the prayer list, and if there's any more that are coming in, Jeremy can read those out for us. I invite you to take a time of prayer, to quiet yourself. Close your eyes if that is comfortable for you. Be aware of God's presence. Loving God, we set aside this time for you. It is easier for us when there is a place to go, a gathering to join, a space with images that draw us, but here we are, outside of our comfort zones, outside of the building we love and care for. We name this place and this time church. We name this place and this time worship. And over the course of the day, if we are outside walking or inside sitting, we might make more time for that. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for ones they love who have died of coronavirus. We pray for those who are ill now, self-quarantined, hospitalized, unable to be tested. We pray for those who self-quarantine to avoid the spread of illness. We pray for those who are caring for the sick, who are struggling to find vaccine, cure, anything that will help, who risk themselves among the frail. We pray for those whose lives may be turned around at this time, who may be losing employment, who are desperately lonely, who are suffering from too much family or not enough. We pray for those who are full of fear, especially those who do not know that you are by their side. We pray for those needs for prayer which can be forgotten in such a focused time. Needs for help, for hope, for joy in the midst of illness and hunger and hopelessness and danger. Holy One, all through this week, whether we worship you by lighting a candle or taking a jacket off the hook and going for a walk or going to the food shelf, whether we turn to a live stream or YouTube or television or devotional books, times of contemplation, private journaling, conversation over Scripture that opens a message for us today. Let your Holy Spirit fill every moment, every cell of our bodies, every inch of us that you love beyond measure. And so it is that we lift up those whom you love beyond measure. Catherine Parker has written, "For a while now, my daily prayers include strength and comfort for the fighters, those who battle the disease and illnesses, as well as those who love and care for them. Especially right now, I ask for prayers of love and support for Sherry Brown, a high school friend who is terminal with heart disease." Liz Rochefort prays, "Dear Father, we ask that you lay your healing hands on our friend Ree as she continues to recover from her unexpected surgery and colostomy, and give her strength as she prepares for the long road and reversal surgery and chemotherapy ahead. Hold my best friend Cheryl in your loving arms as she cares for her dad, Hank."
So let him come in.
We have prayers from Paula. "Please lift up the health care workers who are working with the people sick with coronavirus." Christine Erickson writes, "Prayers for Colin, medical issues that he is working to get under control." From Pastor John Lucy, who prays for clergy colleagues, including Pastor Mitch, trying to help their churches navigate how to be bridge builders during this time of physical distancing. David Abbott prays, "Because of social distancing, I was able to worship live." Oh, that's not a prayer. That's a comment. Thank you, David. Oh, loving God, give us insight to change our hearts, a commission to change the world, and a benediction to bring peace to our week. Amen. Perhaps you could pray with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A few announcements. We're in the midst of needing to discern what meetings to have and have not. I'll be speaking with leaders of various groups over the next few days about what it is that is safe and not to do at the building and out in ministry. But to let you know about some birthdays, we have birthdays for Liz on the 15th, Sally Jablonski, Stephen Parker, Kendall Sanders, Mitchell Hay, Judy Hatton, and Leif Johnson this week, and the Almeidas are having an anniversary on the 16th. I'll be sending out an updated bulletin and calendar, so you might be able to keep track of what is happening. So much of what our calendar is how it is that we gather as groups to study, to do ministry, to just be together. I'll be sending out notices about where I'll be. I will be having more hours at the church so I can meet people one-on-one. I hope I might be able to share some more spiritual walking with folk out in the woods as the weather begins to be a little bit warmer, to be able to share some time with people individually. Call me if you have any questions, or email me at the address that is at Facebook. And in the midst of a time of physical distancing and a time of fear, I wish you peace and call you to social bridge building In the name of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Go in peace, my friends.